My guest today is Holly Tucker, one of the most trusted, inspiring, and familiar names in UK business. I would wager that you've taken potentially one of the biggest, if not the biggest risk of your, I was going to say career, but would it be better to say life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. Last week, something happened to me, which I had promised my husband would never happen again.
What's missing and what can I make money from?
Yeah, I think it's quite a masculine way of looking at it. Probably heard this before. This is silly. I'm not very good at this. I don't know when I'm going to start this. I've been thinking about this for years. All of these things are said.
How do you ask for help?
Yeah, I mean, another thing I've done sort of between 40 and 46 is I've sort of cleared the cupboards out. You know, I've got rid of drains in my life and I've kept raising.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
My guest today is Holly Tucker, one of the most trusted, inspiring, and familiar names in UK business. She co-founded the e-tail behemoth, notonthehighstreet.com, is UK ambassador to small creative businesses, and has generated £1 billion for the economy. She is a force to be reckoned with. Holly is a highly respected entrepreneur, and not least because she has dedicated her career and platforms to championing small businesses. She received an MBE for services to small businesses and enterprise in June 2012 as part of Her Majesty the Queen's birthday honours list. Rather than business as a stuffy space with spreadsheets here and flowcharts there, Holly's brand of entrepreneurship is all about creativity. She has topped both the Amazon and Sunday Times bestseller charts with her books that have helped steer hundreds of thousands of business owners and help them find the skills and mindset to steer their businesses to success. She founded the immersive brand Holly & Co. to help small businesses through the highs and lows of their business journeys and is striving to redefine what it means to be a small business. She is also encouraging more women and young people to start their own businesses. She also says something very exciting that's been up her sleeve that we can talk about in this episode. And I feel extra specially excited about welcoming her to the podcast because of this. So without any further ado, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Emma Gunn Show, Holly Tucker. Or should I say, Hurricane Holly?
I don't know. Maybe now at 46, am I really a hurricane? I think the team would say so, but maybe I'm just like a strong storm. You know, a strong storm at this stage.
A very, very strong breeze, perhaps.
Exactly.
So we were just talking and I said, no, we're going to have this on tape because I'm curious about this. Because listeners, you know, I love to escape into nothingness with reality TV. And I was inviting Holly to come around for pizza in pajamas and watch some. And I was like, are you into it? And she said, no, I'm into something else.
My switch off is more of the serial killer type Netflix stuff. Right. So I'm just watching Mindhunter for the second time. It's two seasons and I'm doing it second time. And it's literally a little bit like a lullaby for me. I just find myself being just engrossed in anything like that. And it's a sort of like a very calming state just to watch sort of, yes, murder thrillers. There's another thing I like, and I don't know, it's 90s. It's very specific. It's You know, the things like Bone Collector or Seven or Morgan Freeman time, you know, and it was that sort of time where all the actors today that we see all looking slightly alien face at the awards, it's when they were all very youthful, just coming into their prime as actors. And I love that stage. It's like late 80s, early 90s murder thrillers. That yes. for me is that is it. I'm done. That is my happy place.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about this at the weekend as I was searching for something to watch, and I was thinking how there is nothing that builds in the same way. Film, the way that we films are made and the way stories are told evolve so rapidly over time, and it's so varied. Now, you just don't get, if you watch Seven is actually really quite slow. It would never get through scripts now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's slow, but don't you also feel that some of the things that were made, I don't know if it would pass the tests now. I think some stuff is pretty gory and it goes there far more than maybe it would be able to today. So I think that there is that slowness. But, you know, my son, who's 18, who watched Seven, thought it was absolutely disgusting and really, really dark. I was like, get over it. Like, I've watched it 100 times. This is what you're made of, my love.
We're Gen X, aren't we, as 45-year-old women? Are you 46?
We are.
You're 45.
I'm 46. 46. Just 46 this year, yes.
So I just think it's a Gen X thing. I think we all watch TV. We all watch films that we shouldn't have watched when we were way too young. I watched RoboCop when I was about 9 or 10. And if you actually go back and watch, that's grim. The way that the way that RoboCop ends up RoboCop is really... Ugh.
Absolutely. My first sneaking into the cinema was Cape Fear.
Really?
Right? And I think I was 12. And it was like 12, and I think you had to be 15 or something. Cape Fear, if you look, it is still one of the scariest things that I think I could watch. It's just unbelievable. So again, I just think there's nothing like that era, really. So I think we're made of tough stuff because of it.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, I'm glad that I asked you about that. And I also have some great podcast recommendations if you like a true crime podcast, because my friends Hannah and Saruti, they make a podcast called Red Handed, and they are fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to get into it. I love it. I haven't done the podcast thing yet. Well, obviously, I have my own podcast, but you know, the podcast listening to, I've heard about this. People are absolutely fixated into true crime, aren't they?
Yes, and theirs is really, really excellent. And they started in a cupboard under a stairs. They met at a party, and now they are one of the biggest podcasts in the world. So a round of applause to Hannah and Saruti.
Round of applause to them.
Okay, so there's so much that I want to unpick with you, but I think normally I start by asking my guests to talk to me about their relationship with risk. And this seems like quite an interesting time to be asking you this question, because I would wager that you've taken potentially one of the biggest, if not the biggest risk of your, I was going to say career, but would it be better to say life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. Last week, something happened to me, which I had promised my husband would never happen again. And it is that I launched a new marketplace. And you're the first person, one of the first interviews that I've done about this, but it is a huge risk again. I mean, I would say the first risk was not in the high street back in 2006. And it's hard to remember back into that time. You know, there was no social media. We were the third marketplace in the world after Amazon and eBay. And we were before Etsy, and we were two women, Sophie and myself, and we launched into a world where no one even knew what a marketplace was. No one really understood selling online. Fast forward, and isn't this funny how the universe works? Nearly 20 years exactly, I have done it again. And I have launched the Holly & Co. marketplace. Think of it as the best small business department store you could ever visit online. And that's what we've launched. And I'm so proud, but I can't actually believe I've even saying it. It's been a dream for now a decade to do this. And everything had to align. And I had to take a huge amount of risk personally, professionally, if I'm honest with you, emotionally as well, because this time around, you know, before I was just this naive 27-year-old, 28-year-old with you know, no expectations, no understanding of anything really, going into it beautifully naive. I think naivety is one of the best things that we can be given as business folk. This time I know I know what can happen. And so it was actually one of the biggest risks was the emotional risk about people looking, judging, you know, I don't know, giving birth to this new business baby. But I'm really happy I've done it. I'll never do anything like this again. This is it. You know, I'm going to do this now until I'm 90. I've always said I'm going to retire when I'm 90. So this is it. This is my rest of my life. So I'm pretty thrilled.
The thing that came to mind when I first knew that you were going to be doing Holly & Co. Marketplace was what it must be like having enjoyed so much success and to have created a place and a brand and a business that is so recognizable. You could get on any train from London, stop anywhere, go to any high street and say, have you heard of Not on the High Street? And pretty much everyone's going to say, yes, of course I have. And then what happens with that is that you've got people like me who are like, oh, Holly's really successful. Would she come on my podcast and tell me about how successful she is? And so you get elevated by other people's perception of what you've done. And when you've enjoyed that for as long as you have, I guess that also means that, as you say, it's not just the naivety, it's that your starting point is completely different. Before, if you failed, no one noticed. But now if you fail, everyone would be like, she was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I totally agree. I actually, before this, never, you know, Holly & Co. Launched 8 years ago, and we've just launched the final piece to my jigsaw puzzle. But actually, I never would have believed in serial entrepreneurs. You know, I slightly thought you only have one business in you. I was a bit scathing about that because, and then, you know, we'll talk about it at another point, but life dealt me the blows that it dealt me. And I realized that I had unfinished business. So in a way, I am doing it again, but it's actually just an extension of my passion in life. You know, on my gravestone will be that I believed in people's dreams. And I happened to manifest myself to being able to help I manifested platforms to allow women to build their dreams. So actually, it's the same umbrella. It's the same mission. I've just had different chapters, different things, but actually the mission is exactly the same. And so, but the perception of the outside world will be, oh, she's doing it again. Will it be, you know, as well? Ultimately, I just don't care anymore. I know what makes success. And success is when you are so passionate about something that you live it 24/7, 7 days a week. There is no chance of this not working, because ultimately we're answering some truths, and it goes way beyond the marketplace and the fact that we have amazing small businesses and, you know, tens and tens of thousands of products and all those sorts of great things. But the truth of Holly & Co. is I'm trying to help women redefine how they live and how they work and how they shop. And actually, when you have that type of mission, that's sort of your North Star, and when there's so little dedicated to women, especially over their 40s, I can't see how it can fail, because finally someone's concentrating on such powerful women. So that's not being arrogant. That's more believing in the women that I'm trying to help.
When you do any kind of research on you, you don't have to click on too many tabs on the internet before it really digs into the fact that you are about championing small businesses, entrepreneurs, females in business, women in business. And I wonder when that became part of the mission, because, I mean, this is one of the reasons why you got the MBE 10 years ago. Because that's your focus. And I wonder how that weaves into it, because I think the perception from the outside of an entrepreneur or somebody who starts a business is that you think about a white space that can be monetized. Boom. That's kind of and you build it from there. It's like, what's missing and what can I make money from?
Yeah. I think it's quite a masculine way of looking at it. And, you know, I always talked about this sort of gap in the market, you know, yuck. You know, I would never want to start a business based on the seed of a gap in the market. You know, the what I was basically building, it started before, not in the high street. I had a company called Your Local Fair, where I put on events in town halls, leaky roofed town halls with trestle tables, and would curate amazing small businesses to sell in them. And from there, I had my own small business there. And then from there, that obviously was a nightmare, but you know, it was a seed of an idea. And that then became the trestle tables on this thing called the internet, which then became this thing called Not on the High Street. And then Not on the High Street evolved and grew and became a great big business with all that that entails. And I'm sure we'll go into some of these highs and lows of being a boss or a female entrepreneur. And then that evolved into understanding there was a higher need, a higher cause for Holly & Co., which was, if you have a dream and you want to start a business, whatever stage, by the way, where do you go that you feel like you're coming home? A government website wasn't going to answer that. There was no female podcast run by a successful female business leader. There wasn't a book that was colourful and not grey talking about business, you know, all these sorts of things. And so there was a higher need. So each one almost flipped into the next. And sort of, I think that that's one of the things of growing a business, is that actually, it can be an evolution, and that's what I feel Holly & Co. is. It's just an evolution of the golden thread of my life, and it's very, very, very humbling. And I never thought that small businesses was going to be my life. You know, when I started Your Local Fair, I think I was 23. I just loved what they created. You know, I was a keen shopper and I understood the beauty and creativity. I'm a creative myself. Can't draw anything, but I love creativity. I live in it. And then women came along, because as we grew Not on the High Street, I realized it was open to everybody, but it ended up being over 90% female small businesses. And Holly & Co. and our Co's, Holly & Co. So the small businesses are called Co's. It's 93%, 95% females. Again, not by necessarily design. So actually my whole world, the last 20 years, all I've been immersed in is women growing businesses. And then the juggle and what they go through. And for me then, I was like, right, I'm sticking with this group. They are literally sisterhood. It is just unbelievable. And they allowed me to come into it. And I feel very, very blessed. And so that's why that creativity and small businesses and women now have just literally become my world. And that's what Holly & Co. is.
When I listen to you talk like that, I think of all of the ideas that you've helped make reality with the work that you do. And it just makes me think about all the ideas and all the people who might potentially be listening, who have an idea, might even have written it down, might even have drawn a sketch, but don't know where to take it from there. What would your advice be to someone who's at that stage where they feel in their bones they've got a really good idea, but they don't know how to say it out loud or put it down on paper?
Yeah. Well, that's like my daily job. That's something I've been dealing with for 20 years. So number one, I get it. I would say on my 40th birthday, 29,000 days sprung to mind, because didn't spring to mind. I actually calculated it. I love efficiency. You know, I'm a woman in a hurry. I need to fit a lot of life into the 24 hours that we have each day. And so I wanted to work out how many days left I had on the planet when I was 40. And so I did a quick calculation. It was roughly 29,000 days. And I worked out something like I had 14,000 days left. And then when you work that out, it really sharpens your senses to the fact that every single day, yes, it's a Pinterest quote that we can look up and everything, but you don't get today back. And if we realize that, if we actually do live in gratitude, and that's something that's developed, you know, my younger self did not live in gratitude. Myself today, I get sort of flummox because I live so much in gratitude. I try and make every single, even the arguments I have with my husband, I try and think, right, what have I learned from that, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he wants to throttle me sometimes with this, but is the fact that anyone listening with that idea, and then when you've had a couple of glasses of wine and you keep telling your friends about the same idea and you've been doing it for years, I would ask you, how long are you going to continue doing that? How long are you not going to live in the power of today? Mm. And how long are you going to deny yourself that true happiness? Because I do believe doing what you love and loving what you do. Why I believe in, by the way, championing business. I'm not some sort of like Dragon's Denny type woman here. I believe in happiness and controlling our happiness and living what I call a good life. So actually, I think one of the keys to living a good life, balancing family, looking after well-being as much as our ambition, being able to do all of these things comes from controlling our work-life balance, if there is such a thing. And that is actually then starting your own business. So that's why I'm so passionate about business. And so I would say to anyone thinking about it, you've just got to start. Don't think of it like a business plan, printing your business cards, having your partner or your parents or your friends approve you. Today, write this second on Emma's show. She just asked you that question, almost in a way you could just start this second. Just go and do one step, buy the URL, write something down. That's the start of your business. And I think we make starting a business such a thing, whereas actually it's just one step in front of the other. One action, another action builds into what will become your company. And so this is what I've done all for the last 22 years, is try and help people find that passion in their lives and actually go for it and not deny themselves what I believe is a course to happiness.
Mm, I love that. And I also, I have to ask, on your 40th birthday, was 40 confronting for you? Because I can't help but feel, as somebody who's also been through it, I didn't find 40 challenging. I think I found 45 worse, but it makes me wonder to sit there and think, how much time have I got left? Did you really feel this idea that you
would like almost point? Like purposefully, I've sort of not updated that number. I keep not updating the number. I'm like, right now I'm 46. I need to like maybe update that number. I found 45 more challenging than 40.
Yes.
I found 40. I thought I needed to behave a certain way. Like you're meant to feel something.
Yes.
And 45, I found more challenging because you almost were like, if you had two gardens and you had a fence, I was jumping over the other side of the fence into the going over to 50.
Yeah.
One of the things that's really, and why actually I think when you build your own businesses, you can merge your life and your viewpoints and your beliefs into what you're building. So Holly & Co is all about everybody, and I focus in on women, and then I focus in on women over 40, consumers and small businesses, is because I have never been more sure of myself, happiest in my body, happiest in my mind than when I turned 46. Mm. And actually, as much as I jumped into the garden of the other side, and you know, there's the 50 coming along, isn't there? I'm actually redefining now this point, this midlife, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It's the moment where I can be born again. You know, there's so many things, changes that happen in your life. My son last week went to university. 2 weeks ago, he went to university. And so, you know, wow, you know, I started Not on the High Street when he was 3 months old, and I launched Holly & Co, and I just taken him to his halls. So that really gives you an idea that now I'm on to my next chapter of my life. And so many women, you know, we've been almost conditioned to think of this as a sort of a beginning of the end, when actually it's truly the beginning of coming back to who you are. Mm. So it is actually exciting.
I have got a similar, I don't have children, but I have quite a few friends who have got children who are exactly as your son has gone to university. So they're now, they have time on their hands that they hadn't had before. They don't have to a responsibility living at home with them anymore. And every single one of them is saying. It's like the weirdest freeing thing. I've got the same amount of time that I used to have in my 20s, but I have way more freedom, no more than I knew then, and have more disposable income. And they're just like, so what, I should be doing something important.
Well, there you go. They are the women that I'm talking to, because actually your whole life can start again. The way that you've decided, all that wisdom, all the war scars of your life, you can take all of that now. I would never want to be 20 again. I'd never ever want to be 20. I'm so happy I now know what I know. So now I can make really great decisions. I can say no to things that I cannot stand. I can say no to people that drain me. I can I understand my weaknesses and my strengths. I'm capable, all of these sorts of things. And I'm further on in my career, as you said, maybe more disposable income, different, all these sorts of things. Wow, what a powerhouse that is. And yet, in a way, we've been conditioned to think it's potentially about the beginning of the end. What is this word, retirement? We've got menopause. It's all doom and gloom. We're going to have weight around our bellies, all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what we could do as a collective of women is phenomenal.
It's true. I had this conversation on the podcast recently with someone about how I'm 45, been working in the beauty industry now for over 20 years. I've never felt more irrelevant and like a dinosaur. And it's so bizarre to me. And I'm kind of over it now, and I'm not looking at that too much. But it was annoying me because I thought, but I've never known, like, I know more now than I did then when I was taken seriously. Just because I'm a bit older and I'm not as cool and I don't have as many followers as cooler people. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Oh my God, I've not had this situation. But I think what's really wonderful, particularly about my industry, and it sounds like the environment that you create, I have incredible friends around me who are of a similar age, and we all build and bolster each other up.
I think it just watch this space, honestly. You know, we've launched this marketplace, as I said to you, we have 95% female. 80% of the women who are selling and creating and making on Holly & Co. are between 40 and 60 years old. So that is a real statistic to be held on to. Now, that is exactly what I'm talking about. People who have decided to, and it's normally after their career wasn't fulfilling, they decided they didn't want to go up the rungs of the ladder. You know, that's this statistic that's sort of, you know, how many women in the boardroom? Maybe some women don't want to be in the boardroom. They don't need to prove that they can get to the boardroom. They have different life experiences, all these sorts of things. And this is that moment now. What are you going to do? Wow, you've got 14,000 days left. My God, that's a lifetime. Now, what's the mark you're going to make on the world? And I cannot wait to see what it is. That's really what we should be channeling right now. Mm. And I hope Holly & Co. is going to make those changes. I can't do it single-handedly, but in my world, over the next couple of decades, I think that's going to be the change that we're going to see.
Mm. Talk to me about your non-negotiables. I like this idea. I feel like this is probably something that also maybe, did it appear around the same time as you turned 40 and you were making counting?
No, I wish it had, Emma. I wish it had. No. It took lockdown. I think lockdown for me was the first time I remember. So lockdown happened. I'd never not been rushing to get to work ever. You know, sort of like, you know, I started work at 18. So I was an 18-year-old on Baker Street in advertising. I got my A-level results the same day as I got my job. And I basically have worked forever. Lockdown was the first moment where, so what do I do in the morning? Oh my God, I have a dog. And is that seasons? Okay, seasons, dog. I'm going to go in for a walk. I'm going to do this thing in the morning and all this sort of stuff. And slowly I sort of thawed. And for the first time ever, I was able to, with some capacity, I think lots of people found it. I'm not talking about all the other hardships that people were going through. I'm just talking about for those that were on a hamster wheel, that stop, that break, it was like God put down his finger onto a keyboard and pressed pause. And for all of us who've never been able to pause, I was able to prioritize myself. So I just started doing things like I go for an hour's walk every single day. Every single day, I was able to not rush and try and grab something to eat. I made some good food for myself. And that just started this thing. And then a dear friend of mine who's a coach taught us about non-negotiables. And that was this thing, which is where you get your energy from, where you feel like you're caring for yourself. Women always, we have to-do lists that never end, and we are always at the bottom of every single to-do list, regardless, you know, especially if you have children, family, whatever, work, you deplete yourself on every level. And so this was this thing, which is, I knew I needed to do it in my other life. And when I was 40, I knew I needed to do this, by the way, Emma. But it took me until that point to then say, right, I now need it. If I want to work till I'm 90, if I don't believe in retirement, if I love Iris Apfel and I want to be her with her eccentric glasses and jewelry and her business and everything like that, I better learn this thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. And I started learning non-negotiables. So now my non-negotiables are, they change each year, but it's revolving around bringing exercise continuously into my life, which I'm not that type of person. I was the one that was last picked on the netball team. Do you know what I mean? I would have a fag Same. Behind, you know, I just was not doing sports. And it's taken me this long to realize it's nothing to do with dress size. It's all to do with strength and feeling powerful and energy. I've learned the piano this year. So, for instance, another thing is each year I try and learn something new. I try and continue my exercise and what that's bringing me. I also try new things like this year. I've learned breathing properly. So 80% of us don't breathe properly. And again, so I'm trying to expand my mind and look after my body whilst having fun. You know, I'm a work hard, play hard type of girl, always have been. But that is now my non-negotiables. And it's amazing how many people don't know about non-negotiables. It's just that little bit of life you carve out that can't be taken from anyone else. People can't take it from you. And it has to be every day.
I think it's very, very interesting the way you're describing lockdown. Obviously terrible what everyone went through, but I think you're absolutely right in that for a lot of people, it made them realize how they'd been sort of living with blinkers on. And those blinkers were blinkers of perceived responsibility. Well, I've got to get to work, yeah. So I haven't got time for this. I've got to work through lunch. And I think we were also, being realistic about the Gen X thing, we were also that generation who, I mean, I got into the media by making tea and by memorizing coffee orders. That's how I sort of worked my way in. Not because I had a great qualification or anything. I think that we were the ones that were like, if you have to stay up all night and work, if you have to show the boss that you will work weekends, you'll just do it. Whereas now, I don't think, it does seem quite different.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I was a junior tea girl at Publicis Advertising Agency. So I would be there to make the tea, like you said, in the mornings. But then because it was advertising after the 80s, I was the one who was nicking the wine from the conference kitchen because I had chatted up the guy who had the key. So my bosses would just go, Holly, just go and grab a couple of bottles of wine. Because, of course, in those days, you would have wine at lunch, wine after work, you know, fag-ash lils, smoking away, answering the calls and everything like that. It was just a different world, but you'd be there till 2 o'clock in the morning, up at 7 o'clock in the morning. As you said, it was a different time, wasn't it?
Totally different. And I love that work ethic. I love the fact that it was like you gave it everything. You showed that you were really keen.
It's again, along with the serial killer sort of stuff, it's made powerful women like us.
Yes, but there's always a but with these things, isn't there? I do wonder, I sometimes say when I have friends who own businesses who say that they can't believe that younger people don't have the work ethic that we used to have. I sometimes say, is it because we 20 years later are like, oh my God, that was actually really horrible. I didn't enjoy my 20s because I was so busy trying to please my boss. And so have we actually instilled in them to say, no, I'm leaving at 5? Like, what's going on?
I know. I do think of that as well, Emma. I do think of that. I do think, I just want to live in my little bubble. You know, that I do believe that working hard. I think nowadays, when I look at my team, we have 30 at Holly & Co. You know, it's about the flexibility. Whereas before, I just didn't think there was any flexibility. So it was just absolutely everything. And the younger you were, like we were just worked, weren't we? Whereas now, actually, I do think that there is this ability to have flexibility. I think, though, that working hard, I really hold that in high regard. If you run your own business, if I think about the Co's on Holly & Co, these are normally people with families, huge responsibilities. They're creating, making, holding everything down. I've never, and I think it's why I've always been their champion or want to be their cheerleader if I can, is because I really believe in that work ethic. And actually, I believe in what they're building for their lives and what they're going for. And they're putting their all in. And I think there's something about that that's very, very rewarding. But yeah, I do think some of the stories you and I could share, I don't think it would even be legal these days.
Well, that's the thing. That, to be honest, that's what we're really getting to. What pizza that's night, really pajama, what pajama serial killer night, we'll talk about it. But actually, do you know, there's something that's cropped up there when I was thinking about vocabulary, because it's come up a few times on this podcast with, I was talking to Chris Voss, who's the FBI negotiator, and I was asking him about whether men's vocabulary is different in negotiation than women's, just naturally, whether there's not just approach, but vocabulary. And I wonder, because I've heard this a lot, I wonder if when you're speaking to the Co's or someone comes to you with an idea, how many times they start with, it's probably silly, but, or I wonder if there's any minimizing vocabulary before they present their idea, even though their idea might be absolutely fantastic.
Continuously for the last 20 years, you know, Holly & Co was created really, because, as I said, there wasn't a home for anyone who was wanting to live and work and create differently and think differently. And actually, what I wanted was, imagine like mum standing at the door with some Marmite on toast and a cup of tea with that extra sugar in the tea. That's what I wanted them to feel like when they came to me. You know, because actually every time for the last 20 years, any interaction I've had, mostly with women, and I'm talking just literally 10,000, I don't know how many, it's the imposter syndrome speaks before they speak. It's always, always that someone doesn't believe in it. They don't believe in it. How could they do it? It's probably a stupid idea. They don't understand finance. They every single excuse possible. And then I get to, and it's one of the things I hope I can leave with people when I leave the world, is that I listened to them and I was able to sort of mine the diamond out of them. Like I was able to find that diamond in them, and it was a bit rough and it was a bit dull. And ultimately my job was to find it and shine it. And that's almost what my businesses have done, Not on the High Street and now Holly & Co. That is exactly what's happened. And that is actually all those women's imposter syndromes have led to this very moment where I've launched what I've launched. I'm building what I'm building, and I'm going to do it forever, because that has to change, Emma. Because women have got the power, or the feminine, not just women, the feminine touch, femininity, has the power to change industries, to save our high streets, to save our kids from obesity, not understanding entrepreneurism in education, and yet that's the only thing they're going to have to understand. The environment, femininity, and that way of thinking about things, I think is so, so important. And so it's what I'm so passionate about. But that is what I've only heard is imposter syndrome. And it really makes me sad, Emma. You know, it limits women so much, and someone's got to do something about it. And maybe by building a business and that becoming a bit successful, and you're starting to bring some money in, and the kids watch you transform at home, and you can see how it starts to really seep into positivity, starts to seep into everybody's lives.
There's almost like, I would love you, maybe it's a little bit too reductive, but almost like a sort of checklist of things not to say before you present your business idea. It's probably silly, or like, you're probably going to think this is rubbish.
Probably heard this before. This is silly. I'm not very good at this. I don't know when I'm going to start this. I've been thinking about this for years. Mm. All of these things are said. Whereas I'm just looking for the diamond, you know, and that's when their eyes start to shimmer and they have this big beaming smile and you can feel their heart racing. And that's when they're alive. I call it, you know, Nemo, Finding Nemo. They're in the Nemo stream and you can literally see, you can feel the aura of people. And that is something magical. And I get to spend my entire career either in it or finding it.
What's the one that breaks your heart the most? You just mentioned there, you just said, I've been thinking about this for years. Is it the idea of time wasted?
Yeah, because actually a lot of our toes, when we've spoken to them and when coming on to the platform and we were working with them so closely, I mean, we've curated, so I've handpicked absolutely everybody. So we have over 500 small businesses, and, you know, well over 50,000 products on the site. Is that I got to hear their lives. Can you imagine? So I'm talking to them because I absolutely love their ceramics and they're in Scotland, you know, and then I'm talking to somebody else in their sequin dress, you know, and they're in Cornwall and all this sort of stuff. Hearing people's lives and what they're going through, from cancer to grief to domestic abuse, men having affairs, children being sick, husbands being made redundant, you name it. I heard the cross-section of society and what women go through on a daily basis, in different circumstances. And to be honest with you, no wonder we don't have our mojo every day we get up. You know, there's so much going on. There's so much you have to hold down to do this. So the ones that actually do, the ones that actually have created, I've just got such respect for them. And so it's going to be even helping them transform their language. You know, how is it becoming more than a retailer? Mm-hmm. How do we become a movement, a collective, a change? So that's what I'm really, really excited about. It's about taking those individuals and new individuals, hopefully, and how can we start to sort of collectively as a group, as a community, shine each other's diamonds.
I love this. I love the diamonds. And I love this idea of you being able to see it maybe potentially before they do. And then
yeah, no, mostly it is before they do. Yeah, they know it's true, by the way. When I say it, there's a lot of tears and emotion. You know, because when you hit it, they knew that that's always what they wanted to do, but they just don't know how to get there. And that's where you just hold onto their hand and say, it's okay. We're going to do it. But we just got to find it first. And it's that moment of realization, the light bulb moment, that their life is more than what they're doing right now.
Can I ask you about asking for help? And the reason I want to ask you about this, because I think it's something that a lot of people, particularly women, find quite hard, because they don't want to necessarily potentially show any vulnerability or weakness. And I have been in a situation with my own business where I've asked for help and it has backfired terribly and has cost money. And it's just made me not ask for help anymore, truthfully. And so I'm wondering if someone's listening to this, they've got that idea, they think they might be a diamond that just needs a little bit of polish to become a co. How do you ask for help? And what can you expect from somebody who you're asking help of? Like, what are your realistic expectations when you go to somebody and you're either looking for mentorship or advice when it comes to business?
Yeah, I mean, another thing I've done sort of between 40 and 46 is I've sort of cleared the cupboards out. You know, I've got rid of drains in my life. And I've kept radiators. Okay, so we all know the analogy. We have people around us that we collect over our lives, and because mostly us women don't want to hurt people's feelings, and we would rather put up with something than cause drama. So one of the things I did is I cleared out my drains in my life. Very, very painful exercise, but necessary if I was going to then live in gratitude and happiness and build and surround myself with radiators. So once you do that, I think you have to do that not only in your personal life, but also in your professional life as well. If you're working for an absolute what's it, you know, potentially you need to stop and you need to move jobs. Or if you maybe even married to one, I don't know. But ultimately, there gets this stage, this very powerful stage that we've been talking about, this midlife point that I think that we owe it to ourselves. If we're going to start again, if we're going to give ourselves that chance with those extra 14,000 days to live, let's not allow anyone to drain anything away. Once you've done that, then I would say the people then you ask, you should be able to trust for help. Now, I think that's a really important one. The second one is to manage your expectations. If we all think, you know, sometimes we all get so caught up, don't we, about what people think of each other. But the point is, everyone thinks about themselves 95% of the day. So actually, anyone overthinks about someone else for 5% of the day, let's say. So actually, if you think about you're going to go and ask someone for help, think about how much actual time that they have, that they perceive that they have to help you. And what I would then say is, let's say you wanted to start a business or you had a passion or you all those sorts of things. Have you listened to every single podcast that you can about your specialist subject? Have you read every single book? Have you Googled and YouTubed everything about your area? Because nowadays, the amount of information that we have is far more than any mentor could give you, right? You could, you know, you've got a podcast. I've got a podcast called Conversation of Inspiration, 180 interviews of entrepreneurs. If you listen to 180 hours of all of their wisdom, I mean, you basically could go and do your, you know, a business degree. So I would just say that I think sometimes when we want to ask for help, what we're actually asking for is, A, can you just cut out all of that that I need to do? If we're just honest with ourselves, can you just tell me the answer? Yeah, I just want the answer. Fast track. Can you fast track me? The problem is people, women especially, have no time. We don't have time anyway. So I would say, number one, mentor yourself. Go and get all of that information yourself, because it's you can't build a business based on anyone else's advice. A bit like you can't raise a child with anyone else's advice. You've got to do it yourself and you've got to fall over yourself. But I would say, if you want help, be very specific in what you want help in. Ask yourself, maybe say three questions, but like three questions you've not been able to get anywhere else. It could be, you know, something that only that person knows. Because I bet you those people will help. Because you say, listen, it's 5 minutes. I need 5 minutes of your time. I'm going to ask you three questions and I'm out your hair. Now, the amount of people that will help you there. And also, by the way, you can ask loads of people then. You don't have to just like choose one. So those are the sort of things I would say, you know, remember people are busy, and also really try and boil down what do you need their advice on? Because they're not going to be a silver bullet. They're never going to know things as well as you do and what you want to do. But they could help you with a supplier that only they know, they can make an introduction for you, right?
Yeah.
they could do all these things that are very personal to them, and just keep it brief, and probably, you know, you're going to get a great success rate.
That's brilliant advice. I'm stealing it immediately. I'm texting under the table. You've got 5 minutes.
Some people coming to you as well. You know, think about your daily life. You know, it's very difficult to even juggle your own world, let alone try and help somebody else's. And I'm sure you find it the same. But probably if someone wanted an introduction, you'd probably happily make that introduction. And that could be the biggest change for that person, couldn't it? Than anything else that you would have given over an hour over a cup of coffee.
Do you know what? One of the things I love, and I feel really privileged to do, and I'm absolutely sure you feel the same way, is to connect people. Because when I came into the media, and bearing in mind, I was discouraged from even entering it because I didn't know anyone and I didn't have the grades to get the right degree at university, that kind of thing. So if I now go to something and someone says they need whatever, I'm like, well, I know someone. Let me just introduce you on WhatsApp. And that's all I have to do. Hey, use the line from Ted Lasso. You've just met an excellent person. I'll leave you to it. And then, I feel very, that makes me feel like, that makes me feel really good.
Yeah, I think it's a really powerful thing. Connecting women to women as well is incredibly powerful. The power of a woman wanting to help another woman. It's an amazing thing.
Because you can tell a gatekeeper and it never feels nice to be in that energy. You what I do want to ask you about. I listened to a lot of podcasts back in the day, and one of the ones that I listened to loads was Tim Ferriss. That was when I was really trying to get my head into the gear that I wanted to get it into for my own ambitions. And he asks people, or there's a quote that comes up many, many times, which is, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And I wondered what you think about that and whether you think that there is something in it.
I don't know. I spend, you know, on an average day, I'm probably speaking to 150, 200 small businesses on an average day. So I would
excuse me, how?
The power of social media, the power of my lives and things like that. Like I am continuously talking. You know, I was talking to people at midnight last night. I was talking to people at 6 a.m. this morning. I would say absolutely. I wouldn't say the five people. For me, I have created a community. It's taken 20 years to do it.
Yeah.
And I sit now in that community. And the community is, of course, we're brought together by platforms that I've created, and Holly & Co. now is this new platform. But we're actually family. We're actually on a mission. And we're on a shared mission. And that is an amazing thing. So I absolutely now feel like I am just immersed in thousands of people's lives. But actually that is me each day. So not necessarily five, but my community. And I don't think I could breathe without them now. You know, it's become almost like codependent, you know, because it's been 22 years of doing this, where you're surrounded by lives, women, vulnerability, creativity, skill, ambition, you know, Beyonce-ness. Do you know what I mean? And actually, I don't think I could breathe without it anymore.
I'm wondering what your measure is of a good day. And I'm asking this because, funnily enough, last week it was Trini's book launch and I went and saw her, and you know what Trini's like. It's her night and she's like, but how are you doing, Ems? How are you? Tell me everything. And I'm like, it's your freaking night and there's a queue of people who want to speak to you. But we were talking very briefly and we would like, and I think everyone, you know, when someone says, how's it all going? And you want to say, yeah, everything's going really, really well. But actually we were saying, actually, the truth is it goes up and down, and that is the journey. And so I wonder, when you get to the end of, like, that's the course. I think if it was super smooth all the time, that might be when I would start to worry, potentially. And I wonder, for you, at the end of a working day, and it sounds like every working day has, there are things that occur every day that are similar, but that every day is different, how you switch off and go, today was a good day. And if it has been a challenge of a day, how you sort of park that and start tomorrow fresh, whether you've got a tactic for that.
you probably get asked the same, you know, you get this sort of work-life balance question and all this sort of thing. And I believe in this 360. It's why I don't want to call people SMEs, you know, like some government sort of document. It's actually good life companies. I've created new language around things. And actually, when you get rid of your drains out of your life, and that can be professionally and personally, and you put your radiators in, you can basically build a world where you can, as much as you can possibly do this in life, you can almost create a really good foundation for a good day. Doing what you love, loving what you do, right? Drains, not radiators. Community, feeling like you're in your flow, in your Nemo flow, and actually basically believing that, you know, every day is a gift. You live in gratitude, all these sorts of things. You can build the foundations of a day that is going to pretty much be a great day. Then you obviously have things that you can't expect. As an entrepreneur, you pretty much have to live on that sort of stuff, because that is like EastEnders every day. You know, never is there a day, a moment, an hour that I have lived in the last 22 years doing this that has ever been the same. And I think you get that is the best. That is the whole thing. But at the end of the day, I never look at it like work life. It's 360. It just happens to be 24 hours a day in this place that I've built that I love, why I can be chatting to people at midnight and 6 a.m. and I don't feel like anyone's competing or taking away from me, because then I'll go do my non-negotiables at 9 o'clock, or I'll, you know, all those sorts of things. And so the end of the day for me, normally, I normally would say on most days I feel pumped. And I've just learned about a word, actually. It's called eustress, eustress. Right. And it is the opposite of distress. So there's two stresses in life. Distress, which is the external world coming to you, you going into panic, fight, flight mode. Or there's eustress, eustress. But I like to look at it, because I'm a bit dyslexic, so I have to turn everything. I like to look at it as YOU stress, which is the stress that almost makes you get into your Nemo flow. Yeah. It's the stress when you're on deadline, but you're like, I'm going to smash this. This is amazing. It's what we felt when we were building Holly & Co, working 7 days a week, 15 hours a day. It's like, bring it on, because this is where I'm in my flow. So actually, I would say, again, building a world where you've got eustresses more than distresses is where I find myself at the end of the day, most days, because it's by design, in a way, by design, that this is the world that I have created. And that's what I want to help other women create. You know, women right now, dog walks, school runs, shopping, whatever you're doing, working, studio, whatever it is, it's like, how do you design a world where at the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow, you almost pat yourself on the back and you say, good job. Good job there.
Do your nerves ever get shot? Because look, I'm listening to some like phone calls at midnight, phone calls at 6 a.m. Like I can't relate, but I'm like, that sounds really glamorously busy to me. But also it's like, well, where do you put in the rest and recuperation? And does it ever get overwhelming? Do you ever feel like you're drowning?
Remember, I have my non-negotiables,
yeah,
which have really helped me be able to do what I'm talking about here. I'm in the happiest place of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought I was going to mess up my son. He was 3 months old when I took on something that was a beast of the unknown. I have worked tirelessly for that length of time. He's just gone to university. So like literally it's an entire child's life. I have done this, you know, I thought I was going to mess him up. It was the opposite, mother's guilt. I got married in lockdown after 20 years of being with my partner, all these sorts of things. So I am in that place where I am feeling the strongest I've ever felt. But don't get me wrong, you know, I've had to risk everything to do Holly & Co. Marketplace again, the department store. I've risked everything. You know, I've risked financially. I've risked myself emotionally. I've risked my sort of nerves. of doing this. You know, I'm that much older and that much wiser, and that, you know, you understand risk differently. And so, yeah, I'm not immune. I'm not sort of like unable to be shocked. And so I do have the dark days, many, many panicked moments for over the last decade to get to this point where I can tell you about what we've just launched. But would I have it any other way? Would I risk another day not being here today in my 14,000 days? No way.
Do you think that's why you like true crime? Because you relax with something that's so tense and so stressful and life and death, that when you go back to what you're doing, you're like, this is fine.
Listen, at least it's not a multiple serial killer here, you know?
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
She says innocently.
I never thought of it like that. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that level is just the next level of, you know, stress. Maybe I've just got to that point and I'm like, well, look, at least I'm not having to solve this crime.
Yeah. Or just be near it. I wonder whether there's something in that. Because I personally, like, I can't watch horror movies because my body can't compute. My body produces all of the terror hormones and can't compute that I'm on my sofa. And so for days afterwards, yeah, it lingers and I jump at, like, you know.
Yeah. I can't do horror. Horror is another thing. This is, you know, but crime and thriller is just that one under horror, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll send you some like beginner course in this.
I read The Birdman by Mo Hayder. I don't know if you've ever read any, but that is brilliant but terrifying. And I'm like, and there's a BBC, they've made one of her books into a series. And so I think maybe I need to ease myself in there, but I will take all and any recommendations, please.
I will make sure I send them to you.
Can you believe this? We've actually hurtled through our time together. But before I let you go, I do want to ask you about receiving, because, you know, at the top of the show, I said what it must be like to be elevated by other people's opinions of you.
Yes.
And especially people like me, the amount of people I approach on a daily basis, I'm like, oh my God, I think you're so great. Will you come on my podcast? And that's just what you start to feel when you reach a certain sort of visibility and profile. And I wonder for you what it was like. And I said 2012, but was it actually 2013 that you got the MBE?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. There was a typo in my notes. Shame on me.
No, I was just thinking, God, that was a long time ago. Anyway, it's only a year difference.
Yeah. But I wondered what that was like, because that's like profile and recognition on like the nth. I mean, that's just next level, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was one of the things I want to try and do better I want to get better at is to smell the roses, you know, because, you know, having Harry, building Not in the High Street, going into total territories unknown, from the retail space, technology space, to women in business. And then you get to this point and then you are rewarded this MBE. And I suppose the moment I was queuing, and I was lucky enough to be in Windsor Castle with the Queen as well. And I was, you stand in this sort of room next to it, and the next to the main room, and all these incredible pictures were hanging, and you stand in a line, you have to be very quiet, and you hear the string quartet. And I would say it's one of the only moments then did I think, I must have done something to deserve this. And when I was collecting it, there was little Harry and my husband and Carrie, my sister, who is now the founder of Holly & Co. and one of the first people at Not in the High Street. And at that moment, you know, it was a moment, of course, meeting the Queen, who was literally a bit like an angel. She had this aura. But also it was a moment for me that I had to not allow time to go, where I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize maybe some of the impact that I'm having or the enjoyment that I'm having. Not everything I do needs to be so serious. I, you know, running around in my double Spanx and tube dresses and heels and everything, trying to be a she-man woman thing, like businessman, but really a woman, and didn't know where I fit. could I allow my creativity to come out? And I don't know. It was a very, very difficult period of time and discovery for myself. And so now I think about moving forward and I think I'm not going to do that again. Every single day, if I live in gratitude, I'm just going to smell the roses more. I don't need an MBE to be given to try and sort of take stock of where I'm at or impact that we're having or impact that we can have. And that's why I'm just, you know, so excited about what potentially as a collective of great women from customers to co's we can actually do and what change that we're going to make. And I'm just going to sort of reward myself being present every single day, because I don't think you can beat meeting the Queen and receiving an MBE and having that moment that I did.
No, it's interesting. I was listening to something earlier this week about actors who receive Oscars. And now, I mean, that's just a very high, huge public sort of tribal ceremony, if you like. But somebody was saying that essentially it's really common for Oscar winners on the evening of their Oscar win to go home and to cry or to feel wretched, and for it to actually almost prompt an existential crisis, because we're not necessarily built for that kind of thing. And perhaps what you realize is exactly what you're saying, is that perhaps that you reach, that's the destination, but you haven't really been paying attention to the journey.
Couldn't have put it better myself. Couldn't put it better myself. And that's, now I'm trying to concentrate on that journey, because it's, I'm really privileged to have the journey that I'm having. Those are the words, Emma.
And to speak about the journey as well, I think this is a nice way on which to sort of leave it, is if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, I want to enjoy the journey, I want to live in gratitude, I like what Holly's been saying, what's like your tip, just like for someone to stop listening to this and to just immediately enter that space of gratitude?
Definitely. For every time I've gone wrong in my life, it was not listening to my internal compass. And I've had some heart-wrenching, on the floor, terrible, terrible stuff go on. And so really to live in true gratitude, or to live to your most authentic self. And I know authenticity is used too often, but really when that is the point, isn't it? And it's what the point of everything that I'm building and everything like that, it's to tune into the internal compass, which is that gut instinct. Are you in the right place in your life right now? Are you at the happiest place that you're in, you know, at? And if you're not, the only person that can make change is yourself, and to take that responsibility and to be that courageous to promise yourself that you deserve more. And and for those who need my help, you know, I'm also there.
Promise yourself that you need more. That's beautiful. There's so much in here. I think I'm going to listen to this back immediately and just transcribe it. I'm just going to put it through a transcription app. I say transcribe it, obviously put it through an app immediately and take out all the sexy, juicy bits and turn them into t-shirts, because there's been so much in this. Holly, it's been so brilliant to chat to you.
Thank you. My goodness, what a lovely moment this is. Thank you for having me.
Honestly, it could have gone on for 2 or 3 hours more. There's so much that I want to ask you. So please, I hope that there's going to be an opportunity for you to come back. I'm sure listeners would send in questions, and it would be great.
I'd love to answer them anytime. I think you're amazing, honestly. So
back anytime. At you.
Thank you.
We'll put the links to you, to everything that we've discussed, and of course to Holly & Co, the marketplace, in the show notes, and I will be shouting far and wide about it. Thank you so much for listening to that episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I do hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate your time hugely. If you did enjoy it and you never want to miss an episode, then please do hit the subscribe button wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. It's also where you get the opportunity to leave a 5-star review and a rating for how you feel about the show. And I'd be so grateful if you wouldn't mind leaving one. If you want to get in touch with me, email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Or you can DM me on Instagram and Twitter, where I am at Emma Guns. If you fancy chatting to me and thousands of other fellow listeners of the podcast, then click the link to join the Facebook forum. The link to join is in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. You have to answer a couple of questions, but we cannot wait to see you there. Come over and join the conversation. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.